I stand before you in a very unique and lonely place.
That's Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. At the end, though, he was lonely. 59-0 vote to remove him from office. And no longer unique. The Illinois State Senate ousted Governor Rod Blagojevich last night, barred him from holding public office in the state again. Though the governor showed up at the trial finally to make a closing statement in his own defense, state senators were not convinced. And 59-0, as we mentioned, it was all over. Joining us to discuss it is Amanda Vinicky, State House reporter, Illinois Public Radio, WUIS in Springfield. Amanda, we always knew we'd get to this point, didn't we?
You know, we did. December 9th, as soon as everyone found out that Rod Blagojevich had been arrested, it was pretty clear what sort of end his political career would come to.
It's amazing to me, though, even though this outcome is not unexpected, there were a lot of machinations between. It went here and there. And for a while, Blagojevich actually had convinced some that he could possibly hold out.
Yeah, you know, Rod Blagojevich definitely has a flair for the dramatic, and he really has taken this story on his own account, I think, through a lot of twists and turns. You know, throughout it, we had, of course, I think why this story has received so much attention nationally is because part of the allegations against him are that he supposedly tried to basically auction off the Illinois Senate seat vacated by now President Obama. And then everyone said, no, there's no way that he'll, you know, appoint someone that to seat. And there we go, Roland Burris. He went on all of these national talk shows this whole week saying this Senate trial is unfair and this whole procedure is a sham. And then all of a sudden showed up yesterday to make this kind of crown glory, passionate speech at the end. So in every way, he's been very Rod Blagojevich, most of those who've been following him would say.
He stayed in character. Well, let's talk about the speech yesterday. I mean, at one point he compared his impeachment, or he created a logic that he was being impeached somehow for advocating for low-cost prescription drugs from Canada. And then he began to rope all the other legislators in America who advocated that position. And he was talking about impeaching everybody who'd ever espoused any of the positions he'd espoused. And the list sort of reached its climax right here. Take a listen.
And while we're at it, let's go reach right into the United States Senate and let's expel John McCain and Ted Kennedy, because I worked with them on this issue of the reimportation of prescription drugs. And then let's not stop there. Let's demand that President Obama fire Rahm Emanuel, because Rahm Emanuel is the one who gave me this idea.
Now, I've been checking the wires all morning. It seems as though Rahm Emanuel still has his job and McCain and Kennedy are still in the Senate. Give us a sense of the argument that Blagojevich tried to lay out yesterday.
Well, really, it's surprising that that tactic didn't work. No, I'm just kidding. I think that pretty much all that Blagojevich was trying to do, several things. First of all, he mentioned not only those names, but he said, you know, in pointing and speaking to the Illinois Senate, looked over at the Democratic side of the chambers and said, and I couldn't have done it without you. And I really do think that he feels that way. And in that sense, he's right. There are a lot of people, and the Senate Democrats in particular, have been his ally throughout and helped him with a lot of these initiatives. So that was true. I think that an element of this, however, is kind of trying to drag other people down with him. And I think that in his mind, and I unfortunately have not had the chance to, you know, personally ask him this, but those that know him well and are confidants say, you know, he really does have this sort of attitude that he is one who is being picked on, and for no particular reason, he doesn't understand why he has been cast in this type of judgment when, as he sees it, all of these other politicians really have been doing the same thing.
You know, the other logic, an argument he tried to present, which seemed ironic to me, given that he spent much of his time this week on, you know, like the Today Show or Good Morning America or The View or whatever the morning shows that he was on, including, I guess, Larry King he was on at one point. He said that somehow he'd never really got his day in court. Amanda, listen to this.
I think fundamental fairness, fundamental justice, natural law, and constitutional rights suggest I should be able to bring witnesses in to say I didn't do the things they said I did.
So he claims that he wasn't able to present witnesses, which certainly didn't make Illinois State Senator Kwame Raoul happy. This was his response.
Our rules provided him the opportunity to present witnesses. And I'd like to remind everybody, as Senator Hayne did before me, that closing arguments are not evidence. The governor presented absolutely no evidence in this case.
So, you know, evaluate those two statements. And I'm wondering if behind it all, Blagojevich is saving his powder for the much tougher battle with the federal court.
I think that that's very true, that for Rod Blagojevich to have taken the witness stand during the Senate trial would have been against any advice that any lawyer worth his or her salt would have advised against, in the sense that if he's up there sworn and taking an oath in the Senate trial, who knows what he may be asked, and who knows what therefore could be used against him if, and as this is obviously expected to do, the criminal complaint against him eventually becomes an indictment and then goes to trial. So there is that. But in terms of the witnesses, yes, he could have called witnesses. The only witnesses that he wasn't allowed to call were those that the U.S. Attorney's Office had said no, that would interfere with our criminal investigation. And in that regard, that was the same situation for the House prosecutor. So it was this argument that he tried to make. And again, it seems as if he truly feels within his own heart and within his own mind, but one that did not buy him any winning with the Illinois State Senate and the senators. And also, I do think may have won some public opinion, however. I do think that there were some people swayed.
Well, let's talk about the swaying in just a moment. But you know, I get the impression from these two statements that, you know, Rod Blagojevich has his own view of reality. And, you know, if as you say, by advice of counsel, he probably didn't present any witnesses because it would help his case, but he certainly wasn't prohibited from doing so. Why does he stand up and say things that are just on the face of them patently false?
You know, that's a question that a lot of people have been asking throughout the governor's 6 years in office. I mean, this sort of action by the governor is really not very common. He has been known to just ignore questions on its face and kind of go off on a tangent and saying, you know, for instance, this health care program that he's talked so much about and says he provided children with health care that wouldn't otherwise have it. And yet the state supposedly has no paperwork to show what children are actually getting this, how many individuals that includes, how much money it's costing. And yet he continually says, you know, I've done it. And he has this whole stump speech about it. You know, that is, again, very Governor Blagojevich. And I do think that it puts us as reporters in kind of this interesting situation when you have the governor of a state saying something. Do you ignore it, and what do you do when it clearly flies in the face of the facts and the reality, and yet he continues to repeat it and say it, as do the individuals who work for him as spokespeople?
You mentioned that you know, some people maybe were swayed yesterday. I guess if we're thinking about the people of Illinois, and not that you would want to speak for all of them today, but in general, as people wake up this morning, is the feeling, let's just forget this guy and move on, or is he a folk hero in some quarters?
You know, I'm sure that he has some backers. For instance, he has been a staunch supporter of healthcare, and so you have some healthcare advocates just saying that, maybe not fully sticking up for him, but nonetheless saying that, hey, he hasn't done all bad things. And he won a lot of public support in his move to offer free rides to seniors on public transit, things such as that. However, I think largely the mood in Illinois is one of a big sigh of relief that this is over with, looking forward and hopeful to the future and Illinois' new governor now, Pat Quinn. And also, I think, I mean, jubilation. I think that you saw in state offices here yesterday probably some champagne being a drink on the sly and some parties out at the bars, at least in the capital city here, and truly people that were happy because Blagojevich has not won many friends throughout those 6 years in office.
Champagne on the sly, that would be unusual in Illinois. So it launched Roland Burris's career. It actually launched your sort of national profile here on the Takeaway, Amanda. We're asking people about this bad bank that the feds, before you go, are thinking about creating for all the toxic assets. I don't know if we're going to talk to you again soon. I don't know how many governor impeachments happen in one single career. You got a name for the bank for us?
Why don't we go with the bank to buy up the last kid picked in gym class type of assets. How's that?
Okay. Last Kid National Bank. Amanda Vinicky.
There we go.
State House reporter, Illinois Public Radio, has been with us on this long, strange Blagojevich trip from Springfield, Illinois. Thanks, Amanda.
Thank you so much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.